In the first reading today, through the prophet Joel, God says that his people will not be confounded forever, and they will know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord, their God, there is none besides. So we listen to those words and recognize that God is saying that when people are confounded, the problem is that they aren't clear about God. Welcome to America. We're totally confounded. We're completely confused. As Archbishop Sheen said, if you don't worship something, you're going to worship anything. If you don't believe in something, you're going to believe in anything. That's where we're at. People have rejected God, and consequently, they will accept anything. It doesn't matter how stupid it is. They're buying into the lies. And so we have to be able to recognize what God is telling us, that he is right there in our midst. In the midst of all the confusion, we have no reason to be confounded. Of course, neither does anybody else. The truth is right there at their disposal. The problem is what's happening is people are walking away because they see the horrible example that is being given of what Christian life is about. Some of it from priests who have violated children, some of it from bishops who hid all of that, some of it from cardinals who are preaching heresy, some of it because of the confusion coming out of the Vatican. Whatever the case may be, people are walking away for various reasons. They're not looking beyond what is on the surface to be able to get to the deeper truth. They've rejected God because of the horrible example of his ministers. But God is in our midst. Even in the midst of all the sinfulness, of all the confusion, of all the nonsense that is going on around us, God is there in our midst. That's what he wants us to know, and that is where people will no longer be confounded. Once you know that, you have clarity. Even in the midst of all kinds of chaos, you can be at peace because the Lord is right there. And you know that. You don't have to worry. The problem is that most of us are like St. Peter. At least he was able to walk on the water. Most of us wouldn't even try. But once he recognized what was going on with the wind and the waves, he took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink. And that's exactly what we do. We're not even trying to walk on water. We're on solid ground and we still sink. It's pretty amazing. Talk about we've seen wonderful things today. Holy buckets, that we can sink into the solid ground. That's truly amazing. But that's not a miracle from God. That is a lack of faith from ourselves. It's interesting when you look at St. Mark's gospel. Remember when Jesus went to his own hometown and he couldn't work any miracles there because of the lack of faith. And St. Mark says something which is really amazing. And he says, Jesus was amazed because of their lack of faith. All throughout the Gospels, what do we hear? The people see the works of the Lord and they're amazed. They're astounded. They're just completely blown away by what it is they see because he's doing signs and wonders that are extraordinary. In this one instance, he goes into his own hometown and he's the one who's amazed because they had no faith. How amazing. What's he going to say about us who keep sinking into the solid ground? He's going to be amazed because we have no faith, because we're giving him lip service, but our hearts aren't with him, because we don't recognize that he is present in our midst, and consequently we're confounded. All this stuff is swirling around us, and we're looking at that instead of him. And it's confusing to us. We take our eyes off of him and we sink. it be better that we would be amazed at what God is doing rather than that he would be amazed at what we're not doing? Wouldn't it be better on the day of judgment to be able to stand before the Lord and be amazed at his mercy and his goodness rather than him standing before us and say, I am amazed at you that you had no faith? Not a good thing. We don't want Jesus to be amazed at our failure. We want to be amazed because we have seen wonderful things. And none of us needs to look any further than our own self. Oh, we can look at some of the extraordinary conversions that have happened. But the most extraordinary conversion in any of our lives is our own. We know what kind of sinners we are. We know how pathetic we are. We know the trouble that we've gotten ourselves into. And the fact that God can convert a heart like mine, talk about we have seen wonderful things. We don't need to look at the extraordinary things that are going on out there. We just need to look right here. Think about what the Lord has done. We heard in the gospel about the man who was lowered down through the roof. Talk about a guy who trusted his friends. He's on a mat. They drag him across, which is hard enough, but now they get him up on the roof. Somehow he didn't fall off of the thing as they're trying to get him up on the roof. And now they're going to tear the roof open. I'm sure St. Peter wasn't too happy. And they're going to lower this guy down on his mat. And this guy trusted them that somehow he wasn't going to fall off as he's coming through the ceiling. If we have that kind of trust in our friends, shouldn't we have infinitely more trust in Jesus? The friends had that kind of faith in the Lord. Obviously, the paralytic did too, or he wouldn't have gone along with what was happening. But how many of us are the ones who have been paralyzed, spiritually speaking? Maybe we could walk just fine or get along, but our souls were paralyzed because of our own sins, because of our own confoundedness. Are we willing to allow ourselves to be lowered down in front of the Lord? Are we willing to allow him to heal us? Are we willing to allow ourselves to be that vulnerable as this man was? Again, think about it. He's a paralytic. He couldn't even adjust his weight if things were getting a little off kilter. It was total trust. Now ask yourself, how about me? How much trust do I have in the Lord? I don't even have to be lowered down through a ceiling. And I still don't have that kind of trust. Would he be amazed at our lack of faith? These are the kinds of things we need to be looking at. Because in this society, where there are so many gods and goddesses running around, where have we chosen an idol? Where have we made a god to worship rather than the one who is present in our midst? Saw something the other day. It was a young person that was doing something with Simon and Garfunkel's Sound of Silence. Now, if I hear that song, I think of the 1970s. This is a young person who has no idea what 1970 was. And so he's hearing it in 2020 terms. And he shut the song off and he said, wow, these guys were prophets. Listen to what they said. He said, they bowed down and prayed to the neon gods they made. He says, isn't that what we're doing? We've got these cell phones and we're worshiping the neon gods. I thought, wow, I wouldn't have thought of that because I think of the 1970s when I would hear that song. But he recognized the truth. He's worshiping this blasted thing in his hand. How many false gods do we have? There is only one, and if we have any others, we will be confounded, and Jesus will be amazed. Let's get back where we belong. God is in our midst. He alone is God. There are no others. And then we can have peace. And then we will be amazed at what God will do in our souls, because we can get things turned around and we can get going in the right direction. We don't have to worry about the wind and the waves. Keep your focus on Jesus and you can just walk. What a beautiful thing. And then we will be able to say, we have seen wonderful things today.